is Kathy Mason from MasonWorks Marketing here on Conscious Business Zone. And I am so excited to talk to Mark Anthony again. Mark, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for having me back on, Kathy. I always love working with you, and not just on your show, but you know, when we see each other at conferences, particularly IANS, International Association for Near-Death Studies, we always have such a great time.
We do. Well, it's because we both are working our best to be uplifting. That's what, and that's one of the things I really like about what you're doing. Okay, so you are a lawyer who has been psychic since you were a little boy, and you were encouraged, which is different than a lot of the people that I know, because the rest of us weren't. We were afraid to say what we saw or knew. So, but you call yourself a psychic explorer. Do you want to explain what that means?
Yes, my brand is Mark Anthony JD Psychic Explorer. JD is my Juris Doctorate. And what happened was, when I went public with my abilities as a psychic medium, I remember being at this conference in New York City, and somebody from the media said, "You're a psychic and you're a lawyer? Okay, you're now the psychic lawyer." And then I appear on a lot of shows as an expert in the paranormal and supernatural phenomenon, near-death experiences. And I travel the world studying ancient mysteries and unusual and unexplained phenomenon. And so another media outlet labeled me the psychic explorer. So we sat down and said, well, how do we put them both together? So Mark Anthony, Juris Doctorate, psychic explorer. And as you can see, I'm in my office, and the artifacts behind me, pretty much every one of them comes with a story and comes from a different part of the world that I've traveled to. So And I incorporate this all these stories in all of my books, my latest book, The Afterlife Frequency, because I've also spent a good deal of my life, Kathy, studying God, how different belief systems, how different cultures view God, the afterlife. And I've come to the conclusion, Kathy, that there's nothing which is paranormal or supernatural. It's merely a natural part of nature. It's a normal part of nature.
That's perfect. So what you're talking about, honestly, which I just love, you make things easy to understand for me. And that's why when we were in Philadelphia, I got to have lunch with you in that round table.
Yeah, that was great. That was
really cool. Yeah, of course, I asked about ETs and you went, "Ooh." But anyway,
I'm definitely a big believer in those. And on my show, the Psychic and the Doc that I co-host with Dr. Pat Basile, we have interviewed a number of people who either examine UFOs or claim to have been abducted by aliens, which is really fascinating.
Well, okay, so let's go back to your mediumship, because that's where I met you. And it seems like so many people, especially with these times we're in and people are passing. I mean, I just lost two friends the past month, and I'm supposed to go to a memorial, online memorial for somebody on Friday. So, I mean, people are leaving the planet, and they're... One of the things that you do is you help people not be so afraid of death, because you can still help them connect with people on the other side. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? Any story or anything you'd like to share?
Oh, there's
with a gazillion choices.
There are. I'm what's known as a psychic medium. And what that means is I was born with this ability to be able to communicate with spirits. And in my latest book, The Afterlife Frequency, I explain the physiological and scientific reasons how this happens. None of this is magic, hocus pocus. It's not some airy fairy, a wishful thinking. All of this is based on sound scientific principles. But in the practical sense, spirit communication is part of the human experience, Kathy. It's been documented for thousands of years. I mean, from times of ancient Egypt, ancient India, ancient Greeks and Romans, even in medieval Europe through the Christian, with the so-called Age of Faith, people that we now consider or call saints, many of them exhibited what we now have identified as psychic and mediumistic abilities. And what I have seen and what the focus of my work, of my life is to help people cope with the loss of a loved one by facilitating communication between people in our world and their loved ones in spirit. And people say, well, how could that possibly help me? What it does is it helps you understand that someone you loved so much did not just disintegrate. And I think that that's the biggest fear people have. Did my loved one just simply plunge into the void, doesn't exist anymore, is now nothing? And that is completely untrue.
Right.
And yeah, we live on beyond physical death. I like to put it like this. When you die, you take you with you. So our consciousness, our soul, our spirit is an energy field that I have termed the electromagnetic soul. That's one of the new terms that I have formulated for the afterlife frequency, and a number of scientists have begun to adopt the term EMS, electromagnetic soul. And what that means, Kathy, is that this is a 21st century term to describe what we really are, which is pure consciousness, a soul, a spirit, that is eternal electromagnetic energy. We know from faith, every great belief system teaches that the soul, the spirit, the who and what we are, pre-exists the body, comes into the body, and then lives on after the body dies. From the laws of thermodynamics and physics, we know that energy is neither created nor destroyed, only transferred from one form to another. From the field of neuroscience, which studies the human brain, we know that the brain has an electromagnetic field. And here's the best part, Kathy, is neuroscientists, the official position is that consciousness is created by chemical reactions and electrical impulses within the brain, yet neuroscientists are completely unable to prove how that happens. And that's because the brain does not create the consciousness. It only hosts it, much the same way that your computer hard drive did not create the programs and data on it. It merely hosts it. And then when the brain hard drive crashes, who and what we are is uploaded, if you will, to the afterlife frequency.
So when we pass to the next level, some people are saying, that's the prize. that this is the tough level. It's like if you're in a game, you're at the hardest level. Do we keep our personality, or do you feel that there's, because right now we feel individual, and I'm not sure that we go all the way back into the ocean. I the more that I study this, it seems like we still stay individual, but with a bigger, more expansive view. Is that correct?
That's a beautiful way of stating it. A bigger, think of it this way, is that our soul, our higher self, is a librarian. In the various lifetimes that we leave, and yes, I do believe in reincarnation, the librarian is aware of all the books in the library. And so that maybe in one lifetime, you were Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm. In another lifetime, you were Michael Corleone in The Godfather. In another lifetime, maybe you were Anne Frank in The Diary of Anne Frank. In another, maybe you were Kunta Kinte in Roots. Okay, so you live different lifetimes, and all the characters in these books are individuals, but the characters don't necessarily know each other, but the higher self, the more sophisticated, multidimensional aspect of our electromagnetic soul knows all of these. So you are who you are. So the question is Adolf Hitler going to be nefarious, evil, and genocidal in another life? Or is his higher self aware of what that individual did? And even though there may be some personality traits that carry over, that doesn't necessarily he'll, you know, come back to this, you know, world as, you know, maybe Vladimir Putin.
Wow. So, oh my God.
Yeah, that was a bit of a, that was a,
put that little, like, wonder what that just meant. Okay.
Yeah, somehow I don't think he came back as Mother Teresa.
No. Well, she didn't come back yet either. Okay. So how do you answer when people say that we're living all of it all at the same time?
Now, that is really fascinating, and I'm actually going to be giving a talk on that called Timeless Oneness, the Electromagnetic Soul and the Collective Consciousness. And it's not as algebra textbook as it may sound. I like to keep my presentations filled with engaging stories. And, you know, even though I talk a lot about quantum physics, all of my books, everything I do, I suffered through enough boring books and boring lectures in law school. I'm not going to inflict that on anybody. I want to educate, but entertain it the same way. What you're describing is part of Einstein's theory of relativity.
Okay.
And we know that everything is made of molecules, which in turn are made comprised of atoms, which in turn are comprised of electrons, protons, and neutrons, which in turn are composed of a smaller particle, the most basic particle of pure electromagnetic energy, and that's known as a quantum. That's where we get the term quantum physics. And Albert Einstein and pretty much all of the great physicists from the 20th century all the way up until the current day, including the late great Stephen Hawking and you know, luminaries such as Dr. Michio Kaku, Dr. Gary Schwartz, Dr. Dean Radin, Dr. Max Tegmark, theorize that on the subatomic level, on the purely quantum level, time as we know it doesn't exist, so that everything that has happened, is happening, and will happen is occurring simultaneously. And this is pretty hard for most people, for pretty much everybody, to wrap their head around. But it appears the more that physicists are studying this, this appears to be the truth. So I hope that answers your question.
Yes, yes. Well, what I guess I'm fascinated with the fact that we can talk to people after they left. They all seem to be reassuring us that they're fine. In fact, they're doing great. They're out of their car. They're going to get a new car if they want to come back in, a new vehicle. and they seem to be still connected with us life after life after life. So I that's why I was asking is if my mother, who's in the other space, and I sometimes hear all these people. I mean, sometimes I'll get a feeling or I'll hear a song and I remember them and then I feel them. I mean, it's sort of, they're like tapping you on the shoulder, which I mean, sure. You do that too.
Oh my God, yeah.
But I'm not a medium. I'm just highly sensitive. I'm not a medium.
But that's a very good point that you made, highly sensitive, which means that you're aware, and you're aware because you are open to what can be called psychic and mediumistic contact. Spirits of loved ones do reach out. The way I like to explain it is, think of everyone that you know, both in this world and who've passed, being connected to you through a three-dimensional spider web. So okay. We're all linked to each other. Okay. Now, how does the spider web work? If something hits the spider web, it sends a vibration to the spider, so the spider knows what's there. All right, let's take the spider out of it.
Ooh, yeah, yummy.
Yeah, yeah. But what happens is, let's say that you're grieving a loved one and you're thinking about him or her, and that is an electromagnetic impulse. Your electromagnetic soul, you're sending a vibration along that energetic tether. The spirit picks up on it, and it will draw them to you. And that's why you may all of a sudden feel a loved one around you, catch a glimpse of him or her in your peripheral vision. I mean, for all the listeners, how many of you have maybe been driving and suddenly you feel compelled to turn on the radio and there's that song?
Yeah.
That song that makes you think of a loved one. Yep. You think that was a coincidence? That's a frequency beacon. Spirits being electromagnetic energy, radio waves being electromagnetic energy, they're able to spot that that song is playing, and they're sending a frequency beacon to you, prompting you to turn on the radio. Frequency beacons can come in many different forms, and these are some of the things that I explain in my books, particularly in the afterlife frequency.
I get messages or I'll see stuff from people that I that aren't my family.
Right.
But were I consider holy beings. And it's almost as though they're saying, go to the left, go to the right, whatever. But I didn't ask them. So I was always under the impression that we needed to, that the angels and the guides, they were sitting around doing this until we ask them. And they're probably bored out of their minds most of the time, or going, oh, there she goes again. She's doing that again.
Well, I don't think they get bored.
They're eating popcorn going, what are they doing? Let's watch this week's show. But how does that work that they can connect with you when you did not request it? That's what I meant to ask.
Sure. There are a lot of reasons why they would do that. And because once again, we're all energetically interconnected. So think of your soul, your electromagnetic soul, as a drop of water. Mm-hmm. And when you die, that drop of water plunges into the eternal sea of souls, which I refer to as the collective consciousness.
Right.
And it's interesting because earlier you said about, you know, going to the full ocean. So, you know, you were using that analogy as well.
Yes.
So that we are energetically tethered, not only to people here in this world, but to our loved ones in spirit. And our loved ones in spirit, our drops of water that are in spirit, are linked to other spirits, linked to other spirits, linked to other spirits. This is the wisdom of the collective consciousness. And there are spirits that will work with you in the form of guides. Some people call them avatars. An avatar is an ascended master. Buddha, it's what's interesting about Buddhism. Buddha, in Buddhism, the adherents of Buddhism do not look at Buddha as God. They look at Buddha as, in essence, a supernatural teacher, an avatar, a very highly evolved soul that can help guide people and intervene. Well, you will have spirits connected to you who may maneuver you into a position to be in the right place at the right time.
They do.
Yes, exactly. And I refer to that as spiritual synchronicity. And synchronicity is a series of events that lead to a particular result that puts you in the right place at the right time. And when spirits maneuver these events, that's why it's called spiritual synchronicity. For example, I was doing a reading for this lady, and it was a telephone reading. And over the phone, the spirit of her mother came through, and the mother began to zero in on a younger male that felt like a nephew. And I said, there's a young male, feels like he's about maybe 6 to 8 years old that she's talking about. She said, well, I don't have any kids, but my sister does. And she has a little boy who's 7 years old, and I'm very close to him. And I said, I'm feeling issues with my eyes and eyesight. In other words, when I say I'm feeling it, the spirit's projecting this to me and telling me that this little boy has issues with his eyes or eyesight. And she said, well, that's interesting, because the other day my sister said her son was complaining about blurriness and having a hard time seeing things. I said, well, the message is you have to get him to the eye doctor right away. And now I'm hearing little Richard singing Tutti Frutti, all Rudy Tutti Frutti, you know. And I said, does that make any sense? And she goes, no. She goes, I know who little Richard is. I mean, you know, he died. And And she said, I know who he was, but I'm not really a fan. I said, well, that's the message. 2 weeks later, she contacts me. She said that she called her sister and told her about this. And her sister made an appointment for her son to go to the eye doctor. So my client, her sister, and the little boy go to the eye doctor. And as soon as they walked into the office, on the radio started playing Tutti Frutti, Aw Rudy by Little Richard.
Wow.
So this is spiritual synchronicity. The mother came through and said, my grandson needs to get his eyes checked. And as it turned out, it was good. All he needed was glasses. But I mean, if you don't get glasses, it can lead to, you know, more vision problems. So she gave the message to the little boy's aunt through me. And then to guarantee that they were in the right place at the right time, when they walked in, Tutti Frutti Aw Rudy was playing. Now, this goes back to your earlier question. How did the spirit know that? Once again, being pure electromagnetic energy, spirits can perceive what we consider to be the future. So she gave me a song, and it was a song that didn't make any sense to these people until it did. So I know, I love when things like that happen. And
don't you love being validated? That's the thing, is that so much of this, I'm sure even as a young boy, as you're learning how to deal with these incredible skills that you have, you're like, hey, mom, do you see what I see? I mean,
mom would. Yeah, both of my parents had mediumistic abilities. And yeah, I was about 3 years old and I started playing with my invisible friends, and mommy and daddy could see who I was interacting with. And I remember mom going, oh, he's got it. And dad going, oh, he's got it. Well, it was funny, and I didn't understand why my dad wasn't thrilled about it, because he had these abilities as well. And when I was about 5 years old, I started first grade when I was five. And he sat me down and he said, do not talk about this to anyone but your mother and I. People who see things others don't get taken away. Well, that really scared me, Kathy.
Of course.
And I was like, I'm sorry, Daddy. And, you know, and I remember he was trying not to scare me, but he wanted to make his point. You know, my dad was a Navy SEAL. He was a scuba diver. I mean, dad was kind of a badass. I mean, he was a great dad. I mean, I loved him to pieces. I found out as I got older, there were whispers in the family. And finally, I got the whole scoop. My father had four siblings. He had three sisters and a brother. And one of his sisters, Marjorie, was a medium like he was. And their mother, Isabel, and their maternal grandmother, Grace, were all mediums. And about 20 years before I was born, my Aunt Marjorie, whom I never met in this world, she married this guy who was a religious zealot. And I'm being polite. I think fanatic would really be a better term.
Okay.
And he did not like her abilities. He thought it was evil. She was doing the work of Satan. He worked at this steel plant in Pennsylvania. And one morning he's getting ready to go to work. And Marjorie had this terrible feeling that something horrible was going to happen to him. She felt it in the area of her solar plexus, and she was doubling over in pain. And she begged him, please do not do this. They had a big argument. He said, fine, you and that voodoo stuff, I'll stay home. Well, Kathy, later that day, a crane was lifting thousands of pounds of steel beams. Suddenly, the cable snapped and the beams fell and they crushed the machine shop that he worked in and killed everybody in it. If he had been there, he would have most likely been killed.
Right.
You'd think he'd be grateful. It intensified his fear of her abilities, so he colluded with a psychiatrist who diagnosed Marjorie as a schizophrenic. And one night, an ambulance came to their home, and literally two men in these white coats came, forcibly removed her from her home, put her in a straitjacket. They took her to a mental institution where she was involuntarily subjected to electroshock therapy. They zapped her brain for 6 months, every day for 6 months. And I understand that after that, Marjorie never spoke again about spirits, seeing the future. They damaged her brain so badly. And so that is why my father was so afraid that I would start talking about my invisible friends. So I, when I look back on this now, I realize my dad was being the Navy SEAL. He was being the dad. He was protecting his little boy.
Yeah, I think that's, I remember at 8 years old, totally seeing other things and knowing what was happening from a different perspective. And I remember asking my siblings, I'm number 4 out of 5, if anyone else heard some of it. And then as soon as they said no, I just clammed up. And but it's always served me. I've always felt like I had a team, and that they would direct me, like I kind of trusted their perspective, because it was so loving compared to the conditional love. I mean, I remember going, how do you get love here? What's the game? Because yeah, it's a weird game.
Spirits are not here to harm us or frighten us. And I love the way you said you had a team, because it appears that we have a group of spirits that work with us. And we have one main spirit guide. You can call it a guardian angel. It doesn't have to necessarily be an angelic entity. It can be a human spirit. And then there's maybe half a dozen others that can change over time. And earlier, I liked it when you said, well, are they sitting around bored eating popcorn? Once again, the electromagnetic soul. Everything in the electromagnetic spectrum moves at the speed of light. So they're not hanging around. They can pop into or do and pop out. In the time that it takes me to do this, lifting this pen here and back down, a spirit could have been back and forth to the moon 6 times. Probably. That is how fast that they move, because everything in the EM spectrum, light, electricity, infrared, ultraviolet, x-rays, gamma rays, radio waves, microwaves, all move at 186,282 miles per second. And so that's why, you know, they're popping in and out. So they're not just stuck to you all the time, because maybe you're pouring a cup of coffee. Well, maybe they need to go see somebody else, or maybe another 20 somebody else's. Yeah. And they'll be back by the time you put the coffee pot down. Because we tend to think of spirits as invisible humans that have our same limitations and lumber around as slowly as we do. And that's not the case.
So sometimes you'll meet somebody and you'll just automatically connect with them. Like there's a family kind of bond, better than family kind of bond. And is that maybe because we have the same guardian angels, or there's some connection? And have you ever thought of that?
There could be a lot of reasons for that. It's very possible you may have the same spirits working with you. Perhaps you're recognizing that person from another lifetime. You know, people talk about, you know, reincarnation. More people in this world believe in reincarnation than do not.
Yeah.
And reincarnation, it's not just for Hindus and Buddhists anymore. In fact, all of the major religions have their roots in reincarnation. In the Old Testament, it talks about the body is the sheath for the soul. And it also talks about, in, I believe it's in the book of Job, makes a reference to reincarnation. In the New Testament, one of the most fascinating passages is the Transfiguration, and it's in 3 different Gospels where Jesus takes his disciples to the top of a mountain, and he begins to glow, and mist appears, and the prophet Elijah forms on one side of him, and Moses appears on the other. And what's fascinating here is biblical scholars have seen the metaphorical significance of this, Moses being the bringer of the law from God, Elijah being the enforcer of the law and Jesus being the fulfillment of the law. Now, you can look at it from that perspective, but this is mediumship, what's known as physical mediumship. And when you look at and study legitimate physical mediums, and they're very rare, and I've yet to encounter one, the glowing, the mist, and the materialization of recognizable spirits. But here it gets even better. So after the event, Jesus says, don't talk about this. And the disciples say, well, some people say that you are the prophet Elijah returned. And Jesus says, the prophet Elijah has returned, but they did not recognize him, and basically says, for he appeared in the form of John the Baptist. Whoa, hold on. John the Baptist was Jesus's first cousin.
Right.
Elijah lived 800 years before them. So a lot of progressive biblical scholars and Hindu and Buddhist scholars who've examined this particular these particular passages in scripture believe that this is evidence of reincarnation. And in the early Christian era, the Bible was ordered into existence by the Roman Emperor Constantine 300 years after the death of Jesus. And in the early Christian era, reincarnation was a part of Christianity. In fact, the writings of Origen of Alexandria, he was this great scholar who lived in what is now Alexandria, Egypt. Well, it was Alexandria then, but it's Alexandria still. And he wrote that even Satan goes through a series of lifetimes until he ascends from the darkness into the light, and that we all go through a series of incarnations. But it was at the Fifth Ecumenical Council around 530 AD, almost five and a half centuries after Jesus, that the Fifth Ecumenical Council in Constantinople, modern-day Istanbul, where it reincarnation was determined to be blasphemy and that it was removed from the Bible. But apparently they missed a few passages, one of which is the Transfiguration. I know I'm going on quite a bit there, but it's important for people to realize that reincarnation has been part of every major belief system. There's even a progressive sect in Islam at the doctrine of Ma'an, which is known as the returning.
Ah, so I used to have a book. This is the Yogi Press. I have a series of these books. And in college, so this is many moons ago, this is called Mystic Christianity. And this was from 1904 is this series of books. There was a book called Reincarnation and the History of Karma. And it was part of these books. And I loved it because right when I got the book in college, my dad was dying. And he was the youngest of eight, and a lot of them died young. He was in his 60s. And so I really got into all of this stuff. And it was more Buddhist than Hindu at that point. But what's interesting is that it doesn't, none of this work makes you fearful about it.
Right.
And what you do, I don't think you've had much fear, but like, for instance, what you just said about your aunt, your great aunt or your aunt, you know, that's the same. I wasn't about to tell anybody. And I think that now it's actually people are yearning to have the connection like you do. They're yearning for this more expansive knowledge. Do you agree?
I absolutely. The time for this is now. To paraphrase the great civil rights activist and leader, John Lewis, mm-hmm. not us, then who? If not now, then when? And for too long, things have been shrouded in mystery. And it's very easy for a lot of people to crash on Christianity, particularly the concept of original sin. You're a born sinner. If you look at it from a more expansive viewpoint, perhaps original sin could possibly be interpreted as karma.
Exactly.
And acts, you know, perhaps negative acts that might be carried over from a prior lifetime. And the point of reincarnation is to not get reborn, because there is no hell in the archetypal or spiritual sense. Hell is here on earth. Well, and if you don't believe me, look at what's happening in Ukraine, in Somalia, in Yemen, in Myanmar, in Central Africa, in the Sudan. I mean, human beings have been really good at generating hell on earth. Man's or human's inhumanity to other humans. And the great spiritual teachers have shown us how to raise the bar and to stop doing that. The problem is people, ego-driven narcissists, politicians, they hijack a religion to justify their own political agenda. Right. But Jesus never said anything about arming yourself and hating people. To me, ego is edging God out. And think about it. Whenever you've done anything harmful to another person, is it because you're acting out of love for that person, or is it all me, 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 me?
It's out of fear, actually.
Yeah. And so when you stop acting as me, as first and last and center of the universe, and realize that we're interconnected and that we're all the children of God, that and therefore we must not raise. And Gandhi said, we're all the children of God. So why do you raise your hand against your brothers and sisters simply because they call God by another name, or simply because they look differently than you do?
Right. Right.
And this is what all the great spiritual teachers have taught us. And this is our challenge while living in this material world.
Well, I would love, some of my audience hasn't, doesn't have much experience with you as a psychic medium. Could you share, share a story or two that you'd like them to know about you? I mean, I've heard so many great stories, and I really have to say that this is a heavy subject that doesn't have to be so heavy. That's why I wanted you to tell the stories, because I mean, I can tell you that people are dying around me, but I'm really happy for them. That old car they were driving, they needed a new vehicle. So you know, to look at it in a different way, or a way that, hey, you can still talk to them.
Spirit communication helps people understand that someone that we love so much just didn't disintegrate. And I've got a lot of stories, but I'd like to share this one. I was on a speaking tour of Upstate New York, and I was scheduled to be attending the Lilydale Assembly. So I'm in Buffalo, New York, and my manager, Rocky, she travels with me. She's on the phone, and she says, are you serious? And I'm hearing her on the phone. Are you serious? And she looks at me and goes, Mark, Shirley MacLaine, the movie star, wants to interview you for her radio show. And I said, what? When? She goes, now. And I'm like, now? and so she hands me the phone, and her assistant said, stand by for Ms. MacLaine. And all of a sudden, there's Shirley MacLaine. Now, for those of you who may not be familiar with Shirley MacLaine, she's an Academy Award-winning actress. She's in her 80s now. But she was the first major celebrity to come forward with her beliefs in reincarnation, psychic phenomenon, UFOs. And she really, really impacted the world. And she took a lot of flack for it, but she stayed true to her work. And so she was doing a radio show called Independent Expressions. She started interviewing me, and then we started talking about Stephen Hawking, the great physicist. And Stephen Hawking died a few years ago, and the media said he was an atheist. And Shirley said, well, Stephen was a friend of mine, and he was not an atheist. He believed in a divine power through energy, through quantum physics. Basically, when you have a brain like Stephen Hawking's, the idea of God being a neurotic white guy sitting on a throne with a scepter, that's not going to work. He had a much more fourth dimensional look at an understanding. And she said, so I'm in Stephen's office, and on the wall behind him are two pictures, one of Albert Einstein and one of Marilyn Monroe. And she said, well, Stephen, I understand Einstein, but why Marilyn Monroe? Okay, so we are on air, and this is what she says. She imitates his voice, because her curves are more beautiful than a quantum singularity. And we're laughing about that. And I go, wow. I said, hey Shirley, did you ever meet Marilyn Monroe? She goes, I did. Marilyn was a friend of mine. All right, so now I'm like, whoa. So, and she said that I was actually at John F. Kennedy, President Kennedy's birthday, where Marilyn Monroe came out and did that famous happy birthday. And she said that the problem that Marilyn and she had was that the movie studios used to play us off against each other. And she said the movie studios were very, very nasty, very, very cruel. And what happened was Marilyn threw a fit backstage and didn't want to get into that dress, that sheer dress. And one of the producers said, well, that's okay, Marilyn, because Shirley MacLaine's in the audience. Shirley was part of the famous Rat Pack, Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, Joey Bishop, Peter Lawford, who was John F. Kennedy's brother-in-law, Sammy Davis Jr. They said, well, Shirley MacLaine can fit into that dress. So Marilyn goes, oh, fine, I'll do it. And she goes out and sings a song. And Shirley said, and then everything changed for me when I got the role in this movie called The Apartment. And The Apartment catapulted Shirley MacLaine's career to from being a B-list actress to now a major movie star. And so she said at the premiere of The Apartment, the red carpet premiere in Hollywood, this is back in the golden age of Hollywood, back in the late 50s, early 60s, Marilyn Monroe comes to The Apartment's red carpet event, and she was wearing a full-length fur coat. And Shirley said everyone was like, why is she wearing a full-length fur coat? This is L.A. It's hot, and it's hot tonight and all this. And halfway through the movie, Marilyn gets up and goes to the lobby, and she's having a drink. And Shirley MacLaine goes out to the lobby, and she said, Marilyn, is everything okay? All right, once again, we're on air, all right? Shirley MacLaine said that Marilyn Monroe turned to her and opened up her fur coat, and she was stark naked. And then Shirley MacLaine says, now that I think about it, Stephen Hawking had a point. And I said, well, I wonder what Marilyn would think about that. And she said, well, you're the medium. You tell me. Okay. Talk about pressure. I mean, here is this legendary actress, spiritual icon, and I'm on this rickety phone in this hotel in Buffalo, New York. And I go, okay, calm down, calm down. And I opened up, I calmed down, and got into my zone, and Marilyn Monroe comes through. And I start describing her, and Shirley's like, well, yes, that sounds like that could be her. And the message was, I was jealous of you, Shirley. You could walk through a crowd with such grace and elegance, yet I always felt so garish. And I couldn't stand the way everybody stared at me and talked about me. And she said that I did not kill myself. I just couldn't face another day. I just couldn't face another day. And then she said, thank you for taking the high road. Thank you for not doing it. And I wasn't sure what that meant. And Shirley MacLaine says, I know exactly what that means. She said, it makes sense about Marilyn being insecure. I've always wondered if she took her life, but you're confirming I felt she was in a state of depression. But when Marilyn died, the movie studio came to me and said, well, you know, Marilyn was working on this movie with us, and we'd like to go ahead and recast you in it. We'll just cut the scenes of Marilyn out and reshoot them with you. And Shirley said, I won't do that to my friend. I can't do that.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And then I said, well, somebody else is coming through. I go, wow, she's beautiful too. Great complexion, dark hair, the most beautiful like violet eyes. And then I realized, and before I could say anything, Shirley goes, "Oh, Elizabeth Taylor was my dearest friend."
Oh my God.
And okay. So Kathy, it dawns on me at that second that I am on the phone doing a reading for Shirley MacLaine while I am connecting with the spirits of Marilyn Monroe and Elizabeth Taylor.
Wow.
And I don't know if I'm ever going to top that one. And then Shirley says, "Mark, this has been so delightful." I said, "Can I ask you one question, Shirley?" "Anything." I said, "Did Carly Simon really write the song 'You're So Vain' about your brother, Warren Beatty?" Because that's one of the great rock and roll mysteries of all time.
Yeah.
And she said, "Well, I will never tell, but that is the conventional wisdom."
That's like a political answer, isn't it? Oh my God.
It is. And you know what's really amazing is, and this came out during the interview, years before when Shirley put out her book called Out on a Limb.
Yes.
Which was, yeah, and she literally went out on a limb saying, "I believe in psychics and reincarnation." When she was on that tour, my mother went to see her in Orlando, Florida. Uh-huh. And on a break, you know, Shirley was doing a whole day seminar. And on a break, my mom started doing mini readings for a bunch of people. And my dad was with my mom, and he said, all of a sudden the crowd parted. It was like the Red Sea parted. Shirley MacLaine walks up to my mother and says, "So I understand you're the one I should get a reading from." So my mom did a mini reading for Shirley MacLaine. And I remember, like, she was telling me about it afterwards. I go, "Well, what did she tell you?" She goes, "Well, that's confidential, Mark. That's between Shirley." She never told me, you know. But the thing is, and I told Shirley, I said, "Wow, both my mother and I have had the privilege of doing a reading for you."
Yeah, there's some connection there, probably. That's amazing. Well, these people that were bigger than life, and they really stood, again, Katharine Hepburn, there's a bunch of these actors and actresses that really stood for the values that we hold dear, you know, you can just hear the integrity. Now you don't know if that would have happened the same way, but hopefully it would.
Yeah, a lot of famous people. Charlie Chaplin told Shirley MacLaine once that he believed that he had lived several lives. And there's a famous quote from J.P. Morgan, the great capitalist. He said, "Millionaires do not consult psychics. Billionaires do."
That's how you become a billionaire.
Well, that was his point. That was his point. So psychic, I mean, and I do a presentation called Rulers, Royals, Psychics, and Spirits, the Mystics Behind the Thrones of Power. And it's a very fun, it's one of my favorite presentations to give. It's a PowerPoint presentation and a lecture series. And one third of U.S. presidents have consulted with psychics, and both sides of the aisle. I mean, we're talking the likes of Richard Nixon, Ronald Reagan, the Clintons, the Lincoln administration was very heavily involved. Teddy Roosevelt, Warren G. Harding, I mean, Franklin Roosevelt, Lyndon Johnson. I mean, it is amazing when you start seeing the presidents that consulted with psychic advisors. The British royal family has been tied in with psychics for centuries.
Yeah.
And, you know, so there's nothing new or unusual about this. Do they always listen? Maybe not. But, you know, a good ruler will listen to the opinions of many, and then he or she will make a decision. You know, there is wisdom in the counsel of many.
Right.
So it is really fascinating. I mean, I've had quite a few famous and powerful people have sessions with me. And you know, recently she said I could mention her name. I just recently did a reading for Academy Award winner Hilary Swank. What an awesome person. And I've met a number of very, very famous actors, and like Alexander Skarsgård, Jeffrey Rush, Hilary Swank, Shirley MacLaine. And all of them are the most down-to-earth, the most humble people. And that is what makes them a superstar. Right. They're not all full of themselves. And so, and I think that's a lesson for all of us, is it doesn't matter how famous, how rich, how powerful you are. What matters is how you treat people.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. So any good stories about what happened after you gave a reading? Like, I know that I get a sense of they're just telling me, go for it, trust it. You know, I think that a lot of times when I do the stuff I do, I'll see something that people recognize is a possibility, but they've held themselves back. Have you had any readings where somebody just rocket shipped after they connected?
Oh yeah. See, think of a reading with a medium like a flower. It blooms, it blossoms, and it unfolds.
Beautiful.
And the unfolding can take hours, days, weeks, or even longer for the full impact of the messages to make sense. And in all my books, and especially the new one, and I know I keep talking about it, but I'm very honored about the Afterlife Frequency. It just won the 2022 Cover Award, Visionary Award. I was notified by Columbia University. It had been considered for a Pulitzer Prize. Wow. And been endorsed by the top near-death experience and afterlife research and survival of consciousness experts in the world.
Wow.
And it was designated by prettyprogressive.com as one of the top books about faith in God. And it's very, very humbling to see the impact on that. Yes, I'll tell one kind of short story. I was doing a session. It was a public event. There's about 100 people there. And I was drawn to this mother with her, and she was with her daughter, and they stood up. And this gentleman came through, and it was the woman's father. And I could tell, you know, she had the tears, and I described who, you know, what he was, who he was, and what he had passed from. And all of a sudden, his shift focused on the girl, his granddaughter. And the message was, you are not to get in that car. You are not to go to that concert. That came right out. And I see this, you know, she's probably 14 years old. And I see this look of, on her face. And her mother goes, well, she's supposed to go to this concert next weekend. And I said, your grandfather does not want her going. And the mother says, well, she's not going. Well, a year later, you know, because I do a lot of readings, and people, and I'm always thankful for people that send me emails and messages afterwards that tell me that, oh my gosh, I'm so glad I listened to you. But I was doing another public event in the same area. And it was a year later, and this mother and daughter came up to me, and they said, do you remember us? And they said, you said, my father's spirit told my daughter not to go to the concert. And I said, oh, yeah, I do remember that. And the girl says, I am so glad you said that. I go, why? What happened? Well, this young lady said, I called my friends and I told them, this is going to sound really freaky, but I'm not going with you because the psychic medium said not to go in the car. She said it freaked my friends out so much that the next weekend they were driving on the interstate and they decided to drive slow. They're only going about 50 miles an hour because normally they would be like hightailing it because they wanted to get this concert. And apparently there had been some type of accident or mishap with a cargo truck just before that, because they hit some debris in the road and all four of their tires blew out. They hit a bunch of nails that were laying in the road. And she said, my friends had four flat tires.
Oh, my God.
They were pulled over and they were stuck on the interstate, and the troopers got there and the tow trucks, and they're like, oh my God, there's this debris all over the road, which you could not see because it was a night. And the trooper said, thank God you girls were going so slow. If you'd been going 80 or 90 miles an hour, you could have gone into a tailspin. You could have all been killed. So that is an example of what is known as spirit intervention. And that's another term that I've developed, where spirits will, because they can see future events, like we discussed earlier, they saw this, they intervened, mm-hmm. like this information. And I tell a lot of people, if a spirit comes through and tells you don't do something,
listen.
Yeah, listen.
Yeah.
You know, their messages from spirits are about love, healing, protection, and resolution. They are never about anger, bigotry, hatred, or violence. Perfect. You know, we hear these people, oh, I am the spiritual guide for these terrorists. It always annoys me when the media refers to these terrorists spiritual advisor. No, they're not spiritual advisors. They're religious advisors.
Right.
A truly spiritual person embraces love, peace, compassion, healing, and understanding. A spiritual person does not embrace anger, bigotry, violence, or hatred. That those are not spiritual virtues.
Yeah, and that's how people can know that they're safe, is that the stuff that comes through is only for your highest, best benefit, and you still have choice. You still can take the advice or not take the advice, but usually when it comes from a higher authority, you should take the advice. That's my opinion. But I wanted Mark to next to talk about ions, because you are on the main stage as a keynote. You made it on the, well, yeah, I think you always have been when I've been there. But I'm so excited to show everybody real quick. Here you are. And there you are, right on the very top with all these amazing people. So do you want to talk a little bit about your presentation for ION so more people can learn about what you're doing? And either if they can't come to it in Salt Lake City this year, maybe they can watch it on the streaming?
Certainly. I'm really looking forward. I've got two events. One is an afternoon of spirit communication where I will be connecting attendees in the audience with their loved ones in spirit. But my keynote presentation is Timeless Oneness, the Electromagnetic Soul, and the Collective Consciousness. Ooh. And the title of the IONS conference is Timeless Oneness, the Luminous Message of Near Death and Other Spiritually Transformative Experiences. And the reason that I chose the title Timeless Oneness, because I'm going to be explaining some of the things we touched on today about how spirits are able to see past, present, and future. And I go much more in depth in it. I give a lot of stories about the different forms of spirit communication phenomenon. My concept, my theory of the electromagnetic soul, which defines who and what we really are, which is pure consciousness, that is eternal electromagnetic energy, is the basis for understanding all forms of spirit communication. You see, Kathy, for too long, mediumship, near-death experiences, shared death experiences, deathbed visions, out-of-body experiences, visitations have all been placed into separate categories. And I see that there is a common link between all of them, and it's electromagnetic energy. And so I'll be explaining how that works. But once again, it will not, I repeat, not be a dry, boring lecture. I want to make sure that people are educated and entertained and walk away with something that you can use, something that will help you. So that is part of what I'll be discussing at the IONS, International Association for Near-Death Studies, 2022 conference.
Excellent, excellent. And also, if you get to come to Salt Lake City, what's also really cool about the event is you can have lunch with Mark. Not only can you learn from him in a class, like, or a separate presentation, he'll have his keynote, and then you can also have lunch. And that's where I got to ask the wacky questions that I didn't.
Oh, they were wacky. Oh, they were fun. We had a really great time. You know, because it's so much fun, definitely fun, but it's so inspiring to meet so many amazing people who've had near-death experiences. And NDEs have been reported for thousands of years. And in fact, I give a couple examples in my talk of some of the earliest near-death experiences ever recorded, but you're going to have to go to the conference or watch it online. I don't want to give away those stories yet, but it is very important for our work to get out there. People need to understand that physical death is not the end of our existence. And even though I'm a medium, it still hurts when people I love die. And that's just a fact of being human. But what helps everyone get through it is realizing that someone that you love so much did not cease to exist, but rather they have elevated to a higher form of consciousness. Now, I want to make sure that we underscore this, Kathy. There may be people listening who are extremely depressed, and you're at the end of your rope, or so you think you are, okay? I'm a firm believer that when you're at the end of your rope, tie a knot and hang on, all right? Because eventually the darkness is going to pass. In no way are Kathy and I suggesting or recommending someone terminate their life early because you think it'll be better on the other side. We are living in the material world, and each day that we're alive is a gift. And many days, it does not feel like a gift. Many days, it's hard just to want to open your eyes and get out of bed. Many days, you're crushing under the weight of depression and sadness. Living in the material world is not easy, but it is something we must all get through. And you also have to realize that we grow in response to adversity. So when there are all these negative things going on, you've got to stay the course and get through it. If you are thinking of taking your life, please reach out. There are suicide hotlines. There are trained professionals who care. Recently, this show host that I really admired, she wrote on Facebook, "I think I'm ending my life."
Wow.
And I got on the phone, I called her up, I just got a message, I texted her, and then I looked on Facebook and people like from all over the world were writing her. You know what? Reach out. Because people that are in a suicidal state believe, and I'm not criticizing them for believing this, they believe that they are caught in a hell here on earth, and the only way out of it is cessation of consciousness, getting out of this world. There is an escape other than taking your own life. Reach out to these hotlines, reach out to friends, reach out to family. If nothing else, put it out there on social media, and you will be surprised how many people really do care.
Beautiful. Thank you. And I hope everyone will follow more of Mark's work. He's on a radio show. You're everywhere. Do you want to tell everyone how they can best get hold of you? And we definitely, we've told them, I've been putting up the afterlife frequency. Yes, great. Yeah, that's his newest book.
My newest book. My website is afterlifefrequency.com. And, you know, I wanted to make it easy for everybody. And you can sign up for a phone reading with me. I invite you to sign up for my newsletter. You can find out about all three of my books, The Afterlife Frequency, Evidence of Eternity, and Never Letting Go. And I invite you to go to my website, and it'll keep you up to date on everything that I'm doing. Every Thursday, I co-host The Psychic in the Dock with Dr. Pat Basile. She is amazing. She founded the Transformation Talk Radio Network, now known as TTN, Transformation Network. And Dr. Pat is a world-renowned behavioral psychologist. And most of our shows are call-in shows where people call in, we'll talk to them. And I oftentimes will do a mini reading for the caller, followed by Dr. Pat's intuitive spiritual insights. The way we got the idea for that, Kathy, I was on a speaking tour and I was in Seattle, and Dr. Pat also has the Dr. Pat Show, and Transformation Network has, oh gosh, something like 40 or 50 shows on it. It's turned into a, she started an amazing thing.
Yeah.
And we're taking calls from listeners, and there was a depressed person called in, and I made a connection with that woman's her mother in spirit, and she started feeling better. And then Dr. Pat chimed in and said, perhaps you should look at things this way. And we literally talked the woman off the ledge. And I understand that she called back to Dr. Pat a couple days later and said, thank you, guys. And that got our wheels turning. And then when COVID hit, we called each other and she said, I have an idea. And that's been over 2 years now. We're going strong. We've had some incredible guests on the show and we've got some big surprises coming up. And once again, you can find out about the psychic and the doc by visiting my website, theafterlifefrequency.com.
Perfect. Well, I can't wait to give you a big hug when I see you in Salt Lake City. It's at the end of the month. So yeah, everyone, if you get a chance, please, please, please check out the Afterlife Frequency website. Check out any of the other Mark's work, because you'll see this is the real deal. And there is so much to gain to enrich your life from this knowledge. Thank you so much. Thank you.
God bless everybody.
See you soon. 3 weeks.